Live from the Rowe Auto Group Westbrook Auburn Studios, it's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
.944 Donna says on the text on the McBetty's Hearth and Home text line, Ray, you're full of a word I can't use. What do you mean control? The government doesn't control you. Well, let me give you a good example, Donna. Now, may it not be a lot of money to some people, but I just had to write a huge check to the federal government. Huge check. It was huge for me. So because an arbitrary group of people got together and decided what my level of taxation should be without having any idea who I am or what I contribute, my ability to, for example, if I want to go to the Millows for lunch today, I have to think about it now because I had to write what was for me a very large check to the federal government because I filed my taxes on October 15th. That is economic control. That hampers my economic freedom. I don't like it. So, Donna, you're wrong. Dope Sax. Jeff Timberlake, Claude Barrabee, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. A pure example of government control is where we're at today in the state of Maine, at a $1 billion deficit. A pure example of that, government control, and I'll start over, is where we are today in the state of Maine at a $1 billion deficit because one party controlled the government in the state of Maine. And didn't involve, and you're talking to somebody who served 4 years on the Appropriation Committee, have been a Republican leader for 4 years. So I have a lot of knowledge. And when the majority party doesn't involve the other party in any of the decisions, that means one party in the government has now controlled your life. And everybody that's complaining within the next few days when they get their tax bill for their house, because everybody's tax bill that I can tell has gone up, public school funding is not going to be able to be maintained. So your taxes are going to go up on the public school funding. Your electricity costs are going up because of the solar credits, net income metering. Has drove your electricity bill through the roots, again controlled basically by one party. And when you look at it, the government has controlled your life, and one party has done that.
And think about this for a moment. I want to take what you just said about the solar subsidies. In 2009, the Maine legislature imposed a 100 megawatt cap on renewable energy in the state of Maine. Janet Mills, the governor, as a legislator, voted for that bill. She restricted the ability of renewables to be abundant in the state of Maine, which might bring down the cost of electricity. It might not, but at least it would be an opportunity to have an abundant supply of electricity, which may exceed demand, which would bring down the cost. But she voted for that, and now as governor, she has imposed massive solar subsidies on people like me that don't want them. I don't want solar. I don't give a damn if you want it, Jeff. Go buy solar. Do whatever you want to do. That's your business, your property. I don't want it. Why should I have to pay for you to have it? But that's what Janet Mills has done, and that goes back to that word again, control. She controlled, along with her colleagues in the 2009 Maine legislature, imposing a 100 megawatt cap on renewable energy in the state of Maine, thereby limiting the ability of other renewable sources like hydro to come into the state. And then when she becomes governor and really just cranks up her lunacy, and it is lunacy as far as I'm concerned, she imposes these massive solar subsidies that are making electricity in the state of Maine unaffordable for many families.
It's not just the families, it's every business. You know,
well,
just,
we know, just, Milo Chip.
Just, you know, just read in just the Portland Press Herald, who's not ever really thought to be a very conservative newspaper, but just look what they have wrote in the last 2 weeks about restaurants closing in Portland.
Yes.
And if you think of, and they have pretty well come out and blamed it on the cost of inflation. And the cost of labor and the cost of everything that's going on. And that is government control.
And it's because families literally can't afford to spend on that kind of entertainment anymore.
Steve DeMello is on this station every other Friday. And Steve has said consistently for years on this station There is only so much someone is willing to pay for a bowl of clam chowder. No matter how good that chowder is, there is a limit to what can be charged. And so when you have the artificial driving of wages by the minimum wage in the city of Portland, when you have this inflation driven by a lack of demand with government dollars outpacing production, which was caused by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, when you have electricity bills going through the roof because of the lunacy of the Maine legislature out there actively. And let's just add the Office of the Public Advocate, who put in a bill to effectively ban natural gas in the state of Maine, which is a big energy resource here. Again, reducing energy, but not reducing demand. So what do you have? You have rising cost here. There's only so much you can charge for a bowl of clam chowder, no matter how good that clam chowder is. And that's what's happening here.
And you're right. But the other, you know, let's.
I mean, how much can you charge for a bushel?
Let's continue to talk about that.
I mean, there must be a cap on the cost that you can charge for a bushel of apples.
There 100% is,
and so this is
the problem. You know, I'm on a committee to look at how we can salvage farms in the state of Maine, because what a lot of people don't understand is within the last 2 years in the state of Maine, we've lost 20% of the farms in the state of Maine.
Yes,
and the production. And the prediction is, not the production, the prediction is that in the next 2 years, we're going to lose another 20%. And why is that? Well, I'll talk to you about the apple industry because I'm somewhat familiar with it. When Washington State can produce apples for about 30% less than what we can because of their climate and where they're at and their, oh, by the way, it's their energy costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're spending thousands and thousands of dollars every month in refrigeration trying to cool when they can do it for 10 cents on the dollar for what we do it.
10 cents on the dollar.
It drives us right out of the market.
Wow.
And we have to compete. Whether you believe it or not, the farmer in Maine has to compete with the farmer in Washington State or California or Florida or anywhere else. It's a national market. We don't compete with only farmers in Maine.
Right.
We compete on a national market, and we compete on a worldwide market. And when you ask your businesses in the state of Maine, and that's not just farmers, but any business in the state of Maine has to compete on a nationwide market. And when Maine has the fourth highest energy costs in the country, depending on who you talk to, the first or the fourth highest tax rate in the country.
Well, we will be number two in January 1st when that new tax is imposed.
Oh, 100%. And you wonder why businesses are not flocking to Maine and why places are going out of business. It's, again, government control, and one party controlled it, and one party has drove us to where we're at, and that's why we're looking today at a $1 billion shortfall in the next biennium budget. And folks, hold on, because there's going to have to be cuts. And that means that somewhere in school funding, revenue sharing, all of these things that we've been handing out money for are going to slow down.
And why is that? Because we took in massive COVID money, over $15 billion in COVID money, and it ran out. But they created sustainable programs that needed sustainable funding for it. School systems around the state got one-time COVID money, and they've admitted part of the reasons their budgets are out of control is because they created programs with COVID money that required sustainable funding, but they only had one-time funding to do it. We're just in crazy town here. Matt Jacobson used to come in here prior to the 2010 election. He was with Maine and Company, and Teddy Talbot and I would sit here and argue about health insurance and high taxes as a barrier to your investment. But you know what Jacobson said? And he was a guy, his sole job was to bring industry to the state of Maine. Do you know what Jacobson said the number one barrier was? It wasn't taxes. It wasn't health insurance. They were part of it. It was energy cost. Energy cost.
Yeah. Energy's through the roof in the state of Maine.
Of course it is.
It's stupid.
And why is it? Because we have human beings who are more concerned about their rigid ideology and control over the masses than they are doing what's right.
Because we may have had one governor that wanted to build windmills, so he put a 100-megawatt limit out there so that we could put windmills on top of mountains that didn't pay, when we was producing electricity in the state of Maine for about 2 cents a kilowatt, and we still could be doing it today if the dams were functioning. But we don't do that.
It used to be that for policies that would help regular folk, it was the Democrat Party that would have the better offering.
Right.
But now, and we were talking about this on break, the big transformation that's happened since 2016, and it started a little earlier, but really with Trump accelerated, is that it used to be that the predominance of the wealth was among Republicans. Now, if you take the pie of wealth held by Democrats and Republicans, 70% of it is held by Democrats. And that's why you're seeing unions that are not endorsing Harris for the first time in decades, and their rank and file are voting Trump. And why is that? Because now the Republicans, led by Trump, have the actual policies, such as no tax on tips, such as lower corporate tax rates for companies that build their factories in the United States, such as no tax on overtime, and on, the tax credits, the tax cuts that are going to be, you know, not just for the top quintile. I mean, the number of policies that he's putting out that are concrete. And then last night when Kamala was asked for her policy, she just says, oh, check out my website, like an asterisk. Like, oh, I got 80 pages
on there.
You
know what I learned today?
She didn't put them on there.
You know what I learned today? That Ray is now a one percenter after he had to pay his taxes. I think I learned that today.
Yeah, you probably did. Well, in the state of Maine, it's not very hard to be a one percenter because most people can't prosper here. Linda sent this to me. Thank you, Linda, for doing this. McDonald's French fry supplier suddenly shutters factory, slashes jobs as inflation stops customers from hitting up fast food chains. Huh. Think about that for a moment. How crazy is that? We've had people waiting. Do you guys want to grab some calls? Yeah, let's do it. What the heck? What do we got to lose? 954.
Only naval history calls.
What's that?
Only naval history calls.
Yeah. 954, you're on the LynnLibby.com listener line. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to point out something that you gentlemen have been alluding to, and especially Ray, that this government and most governments care about controlling people. And they become a ravening beast that eats themselves. For example, the Founding Fathers said, ensure the domestic tranquility, ensure against foreign invaders. They are ignoring both of those duties. They are shutting down the production that allows them to be in control. It's so stupid, and it's beyond belief that humans with the intelligence, I moved here to Maine, and the intelligence I found in Maine, I don't understand where it all went.
Well, I believe it still exists. What we have is we have some very strategic people who are progressive, who figured out if you can control pockets of the community, you don't have to control the whole state. If you look at Maine after any election, Maine is hemorrhaging red everywhere except in a few small pockets of blue. But those are population centers, and that's what's happened. They figured out you concentrate your efforts in the places where people are most susceptible to your nonsense. Yeah. That was a Christian word for, what do you call it, horse hockey.
To make the most important point to Jeff's earlier point about energy, and I was listing the offerings from the Republican Party that would help the people of Maine. He's promising to reduce the cost of energy by 50% within 12 months.
And how's he going to do that? He's going to flood
baby,
the market with energy.
Drill, baby, drill.
Because if supply exceeds demand, prices drop.
Liquid gold.
It's economics 101, for God's sake.
The most incredible interview I've seen in a long time is when Trump sat down with the editor-in-chief of Bloomberg News yesterday, the day before, and like we were talking about earlier, how engaging actually is what leads to so much amazingness. And that's what happens. These two titans engaged each other, and Trump went right at this editor-in-chief of Bloomberg with the British accent, his philosophy on tariffs being bad, and Trump called him out, and the guy had nothing to say.
Well, of course not. First of all, look, I'm a free trader. I believe in free trade. But shouldn't tariffs be on the table as a tool to negotiate with? That's the problem with all of these people. They want to take away our entire arsenal and have us go negotiate with the enemy naked. It's ridiculous. I mean, look, I don't think we should be dropping nuclear bombs. I don't believe that for a second. But I damn sure believe the bad guys ought to think we might. Because if they don't believe that, what is the point of the nuclear arsenal to start with? It must be a deterrent, peace through strength.
Well said.
Ray, the thing that gets me, too, is that, you know, we're talking about the election, and actually, part of the time, and it actually looks like Mr. Trump might win. But has anybody stopped to think about all these illegal aliens who've come in, especially the young men from China? What are they for? If Mr. Trump wins, aren't you worried about they're going to inspire an insurrection with all these people?
Well, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, who's a guy I don't have a lot of regard for, but in this instance, he is correct. He has warned the Congress. He has warned the country. Susan Collins sat on my podcast for 50 minutes about 2 months ago. 35 of those minutes, she detailed her anxiety and concerns over terrorist attack by all these people who are here, who we know are bad guys. We know it because they let them loose. They caught them and they let them loose. Susan Collins did that. Christopher Wray has done that. Others who have intelligence that I don't have done this. They know what they're talking about, and we won't listen. I don't get it. Hey, appreciate your call. I want to try to grab one more before the top of the hour. Good morning. You're on the LynnLibby.com listener line.
Good morning, Ray. This is Stan. I know you're short on time.
Yeah, you got to be really quick, Stan.
Okay. I heard Kamala talking the other day, and she said, oh, I'm not a Marxist. I love capitalism. And I said to myself, you dope. There's one thing you do love, and that's spending the capitalist and money that's made in our economy, because she'll never spend a dime, nor will the communists if we lose this election. And there's no mistake about it.
Yeah.
That if we lose it, but I don't think we are. But if we do, we lose the country. And you know what? We better get out there and vote. I voted the first day I got my ballot. Mm. The first morning, man, that thing was filled out, and it was filled out correctly.
Absolutely.
I didn't waste no time.
And that's it. And, Sam, we got to go. I appreciate your call.
Said,
but
Stan,
you can vote today in the state of Maine. There are many places around the country that people are listening. You can vote. If you don't vote, you're part of the problem. That's just the bottom line. This idea that I'm going to sit this one out, this is too important. You cannot sit this one out.
The
you
friends
have to
and
make
family,
a choice.
The friends and family who are obvious Trump voters who probably won't vote. Get him out to the polls.
Dove, good to see you. Jeff Timberlake, always great to see you. Claude Barraby, you got to be down here more.
Yeah.
Dove's here every Thursday. This was fun. You guys were good. And we got a lot of compliments about you. Thank you.
Thanks. You have a great day.
We got to run.
Have a good one.
Hi, folks. My name is Scott Ducharme, and I'm running for Maine State Senate District 34 for Kennebunkport, Wells, Berwick, and North Berwick. I believe Mainers need economic relief now, and I'm ready to deliver. As a chief engineer in the United States Merchant Marines, a small business owner, father, and grandfather, I care deeply about our state. I'd be honored to earn your vote for early voting in October and November 5th, paid for and authorized by Scott Ducharme for Maine State Senate.
The bell, a symbol of liberty, cohesion, and peace. Hi, this is Ethan Alcorn, candidate for U.S. House in Maine's 1st District. Every 2 and 4 years, the two parties promise you the answers to all the problems. They use fear to get you to vote against the other team, yet both parties are creating massive debt.